Welcome to the Time for a Reset podcast, the podcast where I, Paul Frampton, interview senior marketeers on the big issues of the day and the thing that they want to see reset with an ever-changing landscape. Welcome to this special episode of Time for a Reset, where I'm delighted to welcome Stephen Chester, who's the Director of Media for ISBAR, the body that looks after all the advertisers in the UK, and Sam Tomlinson, who is partner at PwC. Sam, along with Steve, their two organisations have collaborated on a groundbreaking study, which is called the Programmatic Supply Chain Transparency Study. Definitely does what it says on the tin. And we're going to talk about that study today and unveil some of the findings and some of the implications for the various parties that are in the supply chain. So just for a little bit of context first, programmatic is globally around 100 billion size kind of industry as a subsection of digital advertising, which is a subsection of advertising. So it's an enormous and fast growing part of the industry. And that captures both the walled gardens programmatic spend as well as the open web. And programmatic, as we're talking about, is predominantly focused on the digital display space. There are clearly increasingly places where you can buy programmatically other media channels, and some of that will be in there, but it won't include, for instance, kind of programmatic TV or aspects like that. So the key findings of this study, which was actually released this morning, we're having this conversation on Wednesday, the 6th of May, were that 51% of advertisers spend on average is actually reaching the publisher, a term that that is being used for that is working media that actually goes right to the publisher. Now, there's some detail that needs to be given there, which Steve and Sam will go into, which gives a bit more context, because on a headline level, that figure can be somewhat scary. And then the second key figure was around the fact that around a third of the supply chain costs could not actually be clearly attributed to the various different players within the supply chain. So I'm not going to kind of dig into any of the statistics in any more detail, because I'm going to hand over to the experts. So welcome, Steve, and welcome, Sam.
Hello.
Hello.
So first off, if I can turn to you, Steve, you guys, from my understanding, have been working on this report for quite some time. So I'd love to know why you commissioned the report, and maybe you could just give a bit of background as to the purpose of it, please.
Yeah, sure. So we were tasked 2 years ago now by, just over 2 years ago by members to actually to understand media supply chain transparency as a sort of common agenda. At ISBAR, and specifically when digging into, you know, what could we do, what areas could we actually specifically dig into, you know, members said, look, it's the programmatic supply chain. We have, you know, a good understanding of the supply chain, some with in-house capabilities, some not, still some working very closely with their agencies, but with some in-house specialists in-house or experts in-house, but still working with their agency very much on execution as key partners. But we'd like to understand, still a feeling of not really fully understanding the supply chain, who's in the supply chain, how much they cost, and therefore which partners derive value, because of course many of these partners in the supply chain do drive good value for those advertisers. So we were looking at that and trying to address and answer that question of sort of essentially following the money. We looked at previous studies because we want to obviously then, rather than repeating, we want to build on some good work out there. We looked at the WFA study from 6 years ago now, 5 or 6 years ago in 2014.
It's that long ago.
15, I know, it's a long time ago. And it was really just a really good study in terms of actually understanding the programmatic marketplace as it was there. But it had the sort of seminal waterfall chart, which many people are familiar with, showing that at that point it was an estimation of margins in the supply chain, who was in the supply chain, and essentially their costs, and then how much money actually landed with the publisher, the seller, as working media, if you will. And it sort of found that 40 cents in the dollar, 40 cents in the euro, was landing at the publisher. So 60 cents or 60%. Was being charged through the supply chain by various suppliers and partners. Mm-hmm. And I think many reacted with surprise to that, But, you know, I think the one thing we learned from that is because the market kept developing, there was so much innovation that even after a few months, I think the parties in the supply chain changed and people use it as partly as a catalyst for change, but also said that the market's changing and it's moving, it's changing. So that's not necessarily representative going forward. And our you know, as a kind of perfect blueprint for every market. But our cousins, the ANA in the States, then did a really great study as a follow-up, as a forensic study. So looking impression by impression, log file data, looking from the advertiser all the way through to the ad exchange. But they then had to estimate the fee structures beyond the other side and how much money then landed with the publisher. And it showed a slightly improved picture of between, I think it was about between about 45 to 60 pence or percent in the, you know, landing with the publisher. So it showed a slightly improved picture. So we wanted to build on those two studies. And we very quickly settled on the idea that we need to work with publishers. So to look at the money in and money out very crudely, and to have data from each side of the fence. And then we needed an auditor and a leading auditing company to help us with this. And we settled very quickly on PwC, not only because of their world-class auditing capabilities, but because of their capabilities in this area, having worked with some sellers and actually looking at their own supply chains and trying to follow the money from the publisher side. So they already had a working model to sort of follow the money there. So we then engaged, as we'll come on to in a moment, you know, on a quite a lengthy journey. Then towards the end of 2018, at that point, to the beginning of 2019, with PwC on board and working with, eventually and we settled on 15 advertisers who leaned into the study and financed the study, and 12 publishers who came on board. We then had to go through, you know, as you might expect, a lot of due diligence on contracts and signing them up and making sure that GDPR was followed to the letter. And, you know, that was a very smooth process. We'd learned from those previous studies and it gave a good deal of time to do that. But I think then we encountered, as we'll discuss in a moment, then some significant delays trying to then access the data, which was significantly longer than we expected. But that was the context for this, to really say, you know, can you audit the supply chain? Because if it, you know, it should be auditable from either end of the supply chain, it should be clear who's in the supply chain, how much the cost, and therefore allowing both the advertisers and publishers to derive the value of their suppliers that each supplier drives.
Great, very helpful, thank you. And I mean, I think it's fair to say, and your intro kind of illustrates it, that it's a complex space. On the buy side, you've obviously got the advertiser, a lot of the time employing an agency, although sometimes going direct themselves, buying from a DSP, then buying from an SSP that goes to various exchanges that then buys from publishers. So it's quite a complicated supply chain, and there's a lot of technology and algorithms and kind of different technology, third-party tech that is in that decisioning. So I think it's worth to say for the listeners that if you don't have a full understanding of what that supply chain looks like, definitely look at the waterfall, but also just look at the nature of how that supply chain is put together. So can I turn to you, Sam, on this point about the fact that it took 15 months? Steve alluded to there were some challenges with contracts and data access. Could you maybe shine a little bit more of a light on why that was, please?
Yeah, so we had done aspects of this type of work before. So our team is a mix of people like me, a qualified auditor. I've spent 20 years auditing media and tech companies, coupled with our programmatic specialists led by Paddy Turley, who spent 10 years working within ad tech. And then we have our data scientists. And collectively, we had done some of this work before. A publisher in the UK a few years ago acquired their own inventory anonymously, recognized that something might be going on, and we did have to go to one of their tech vendors and do the impression matching. So we knew that the impression matching could be done. What we absolutely hadn't anticipated was that it would take us 9 months to get the data. So a bit of context on this. Back in last June, we had 15 publishers represented by 8 agencies, 15 advertisers represented by 8 agencies and 12 publishers all ready and wanting to share their data. But it then took 9 months to actually get that data from the tech vendors in the middle. And the reason for that was the really complex permissioning required. So to to try to bring that to life. The publishers, a number of them said, we have theoretical contractual access to log level data from our SSP, but we've never actually asked for it. So can you go to the SSP and get it direct? And then the SSP would say, well, our contract with the DSP only allows us to share this data with a publisher, and you're not a publisher PwC, you're a publisher's representative. So we'll need to get re-permissioned from the DSP. Except what that means in practice is you've got the six SSPs, each of whom needs a slightly different form of permissioning from the five DSPs. So that's immediately 30 different permissions. And then those five DSPs, some of them wanted permissioning from their agencies, which is potentially another sort of 240 sets of permissioning chains. And some of them wanted it from the advertiser, which is ironic because that's where we'd started in the first place with the advertisers signed up. So you have all these types of issues around the permissioning, and then some sort of technical issues with some of the tech vendors are better set up than others to share data, and in particular to share log level, granular, well-formatted data.
I think it's important at this point to kind of focus on that log level data. It's like at the most granular level, right, Sam? So you can really get down to every individual kind of bid and impression, right? Is that what you mean by log level?
Yeah, effectively, each log is a log for a single impression. So the best case scenario is you've got log level data on the buy side and log level data on the sell side. There's no unique identifier, unfortunately, in the supply chain. So you can't make a match on an ID, but you can match at a log level based on the advertiser, the agency, the DSP, the SSP, the publisher, the device type, the time of day to the nanosecond, and so on, and form a match that way. If you can't get log level data, you then have to start matching in groups. So if an advertiser has only served four impressions to a particular publisher on a day, you can see four on each side, you can then match at that level.
Yeah, and I guess it's also worth saying that unless you get to that level of granularity, it's very difficult to actually optimize and know how all of the inventory is actually working in harmony as well, right?
Absolutely. Log level data is really important here because that gives you the greatest visibility into what is happening along the supply chain. It's worth saying for the purposes of the study, though, that anywhere that we declared a match, an impression matched from buy side to sell side, or a group of impressions, we only did that when we were very, very confident it was a genuine match.
Right. And the match rate, I mean, was lower than 12%, wasn't it, Sam? I mean, that's a rather scary statistic to see that only 30 odd million out of 270 million impressions could be matched.
That's absolutely right. And that's partly because we wanted to be highly confident in the findings. So we set a high bar for achieving a match, but it also said a lot. It does say a lot about the inconsistent data formatting, the lack of granularity in a lot of the data that we received. And that is ultimately one of the key critical conclusions from this study is the need for industry-wide standardization around data access and data formatting.
Right. Okay. That's great. Thank you. And to either one of you, which part of the supply chain would you say, having done 15 months of analysis, are you most concerned about? It sounds like there's a real issue around data access, data standardization for sure. But are there aspects of the supply chain that were more concerning than others, or is it pretty much across the piece that it just needs to grow up and mature?
I think from my point of view, it's not any one party. I think it's what Sam's touched on already, which is it's the access to the data and then the fidelity of that data. So there is like for like data on both the buy side and sell side. So to be clear, I mean the log file data and actually asking for log file data is not new, but I would say that it's still fairly nascent because I think log level data is big, it's unwieldy, there's lots of information in there, it takes lots of storage, and therefore it takes capability to really dig into it. So then obviously like any data set, so it's derive insights from it as well.
Yeah.
And there's costs associated with storing that data, which can be quite significant. If you store a lot of data as well as clearly obviously then concerns around GDPR and storage and capabilities around that. So it's not so much any particular party. And to be clear, the study didn't seek to, from the outset, nor from its conclusion, seek to point any fingers. It was to say, look, this, you know, what have we found in the data? And we found this, as we'll talk about in a moment, this sort of 15% that was sort of unattributable, which couldn't be found, or couldn't be attributed. But it's the quality, because we believe a lot, you know, we think that believe a lot that unattributable is a part, it could be ironed out, certainly identified, if we can have like for like data, this log file data access, this single impression, single ad view. And if you can see each ad view on both this buy side and the sell side, so kind of going in, going out on a line by line basis, that's what we require. And we need that standardization to occur before we can then, and we think, you know, a lot of the unknown deals can then be identified, this unattributable number. And it's required to be able to, therefore, to be able to fully audit it. So it's more that's required, that standardization is required and needs to be embraced by the parties on the buy and sell side, on the DSP and SSP side, to allow us to move forward. And we believe a lot of that will then identifying lots of this sort of unattributable number.
Got it. And I mean, we're already talking about an industry that's worth 100 billion. And I mean, in actual fact, the industry is still quite young. It's probably only just not even got into its teen years yet. So I guess we should expect some nascency and some need to kind of grow up and clean up a little bit, because it is still something that many are getting more familiar with. As you say, the investment that different parties along that supply chain can afford to put into the technology required to store and access, and then the capability and talent required to actually really kind of do the data science, as evidenced by the fact that your team, Sam, had to spend quite a lot of time on it. It's offers huge opportunity. And I think it's fair to say, I definitely believe this, and I think you two both do too, that this is the future of media trading, using technology to really find the right audiences and kind of using machine learning to actually optimize. But we're not necessarily achieving that nirvana yet today. So let's talk a little bit about these two headline statistics, the 51% and the 15%. Sam, could you, like, in context of that, could you maybe just share a bit more on those two statistics for us?
Yeah, I think the first thing that's really important is to remember that that this is the most premium end of programmatic. So you've got 15 really prestigious advertisers, 12 premium publishers, you know, the largest best known tech vendors. And even within that, as you've already said, Paul, we were only able to match 12% of the impressions that we received, which were the ones with the best data. So when we talk about the 51% and the 15%, just to put that in context, this is the sort of best case scenario for the most premium end of programmatic.
Right.
And in that context, you know, absolutely, about half of the advertiser spend reaches the publishers. I'm not saying there's a right amount that should get to publishers, but intuitively, that does feel low. Mm-hmm. And then when we look at the unknown delta, what the unknown delta is a discrepancy between the money leaving the DSP and the money going into the SSP. We can't say with any certainty from the study what the cause of that delta could be. But obviously we do have some hypotheses, and we talk about those in the report. So, you know, it could be a combination of certainly some of the lack of data quality issues, which meant in places we had to make estimates. So to give one example, one SSP provided only the net revenue to the publisher. They didn't disclose their own fees in the data. So right. We had to estimate their own fees based off the contracts they had with the publisher. If that wasn't done quite correctly, that would feed the delta. So there's a bit of that, not much, but a bit of that. Certainly any DSP or SSP fees that are being applied, but applied in such a way that they weren't readily visible in the study data shared with us, that would cause the delta. If there might be trading arrangements between the tech vendors, for example, and with agencies, and if that money is being removed outside of what was reported to us in the data, that would feed the delta. And also foreign exchange would surely play an impact as well, because this was a study in the UK in GBP, but programmatic tech is set up to operate and clear in USD.
Dollars, yeah.
So, you know, depending on which exchange rates you use and how many decimal places you round to, that can cause some differences too. Okay. Ultimately, we don't know. And the way to find out is resolve the data access, align the data formatting, and then people can dig into the delta.
Yeah, and I suppose also for the ultimate owner of budgets to push for more kind of disclosure and transparency. I understand that all of the arrangements between the agencies and advertisers were all inverted commas disclosed, but is everything, to your point, is everything along that supply chain actually as disclosed as an advertiser might want it to be? So I guess it does put some of the pressure back on the ultimate budget owner to really think carefully about how they go to market here, the type of partners they select, the type of talent working on their business. I know the Marketing Week story this morning, you alluded a little bit to that, Sam, around some of the considerations that maybe a big brand should have when they're thinking about this. Could you talk to that a little?
Yes, absolutely. You know, we, in all the work we do, not just in this project, we do see real variability in the quality of the programmatic teams that serve different clients at different agencies. And if I was a brand, I would, for something this complicated, I would want the very best team working on my account, and I would be prepared to pay accordingly. And then once I had that very best quality team and strong access to my own data, I personally would be charging that team to step up its use of private marketplaces with premium publishers, so that you can take advantage of the benefits of programmatic, you know, that ability to target audiences, you know, right audience, you know, right context, right time, but doing it in a way that that reduces the risks around fraud, viewability, brand safety, and in the context of this study, you know, leakage of your spend.
Yeah, but if I'm a CMO or a marketing director or a head of media listening to this, what should I be looking for in terms of the caliber of teams, and like what do you see actually kind of stands teams aside? Is it their data capability? Is it their kind of focus on the technology? Is there anything particular that you see that kind of stands people aside?
So when you see a really strong programmatic team, you can tell immediately as soon as you engage in a discussion with them, they really can talk about the analytics that they do to optimize the campaigns that they're running. But at a more sort of prosaic level, I would be looking for an agency that is actively encouraging me to run a disclosed model, not trying to push me towards an undisclosed model. I'd be looking for an agency that can guarantee me access to my DSP data whenever I want it, you know, and an agency that's actively thinking about those sorts of issues, you know, transparency, access to data, is likely to be a team that is also going to thoughtfully execute your campaigns.
Okay, that's really helpful, Sam. Thank you. And I think it's worth saying, actually, for any of the listeners that are brand sides, that you can always own your own DSP contract. You can certainly have your own seat and the agency can manage it and have hands on keyboard, but you can go all the way through to owning the contract, having proper access both to the change logs and also to the data. And as Sam says, that should become a norm, but I certainly don't think it's a norm today from talking to the DSPs. Steve, do you want to comment on that, or maybe comment on the major recommendations? There's two major recommendations I think you're making to the industry at large about what should happen next, aren't there?
Yeah, I mean, I just briefly on the agency side, I mean, just to sort of, you know, to build on what Sam said, I think, and to what you said as well, we're seeing more interest from our members about actually owning the DSP contracts. And what that doesn't mean is it doesn't mean they're going to take everything in-house and have their own full in-house programmatic capabilities, but they want the ownership of those contracts, and to be able to see, access, and own the data. But sometimes, more often than not, they want the agency still to operate it. Yeah. So the agency still to be a trusted partner, but they want to own the contracts, have control of that, do their own due diligence, rather than necessarily have to rely on the agency's own ad tech. So that's not looking over their shoulder. It's just simply having better control and having control of their own data. And to the point you talked about having own seats, to be clear, that, you know, some agencies, they have the clients operating essentially together, essentially. So, you know, operating programmatically together in a sense, so that when it comes to separating the data and trying to access the data, the agency first has to separate your client data from everybody else's client data. And it makes it more challenging. So, it's still sort of, you know, a wall between each client, but trying to access the data, you need to go through a kind of separation process. And there are many advantages not beyond that in terms of actually then operating the DSP. But I think owning the own data, owning your own data, having access to your own data, many are realizing that through owning their own contracts, but still having the agency as the kind of hands-on terminal owners. Yeah. I think then, just in terms of the two major findings from the study that Sam sort of already alluded to and touched on, it was first just the, access to data should be standardized both operationally and legally. So by that, I mean that, we encountered this project a number of challenges with actually that accessing the data and the time to access it. You know, both the clients, both the advertisers and the publishers had the right to audit and access their data. But the realities were that, because the complex permissionings between different parties, different suppliers between themselves and the supply chain, not with the agency or the publisher, it prevented that access and ready and speedy access. And it was not standardized at all. And in many cases, the contracts which determined that access were antiquated with specific nuanced legal access rather than just standardized access. And then once it got to the data, it was not standardized at all. It was in different formats, as Sam said. Sometimes it can access log file data, sometimes aggregated data. So rather than ad show, ad impression, ad show by an impression, it was sort of aggregated by the minute or by day. So the two key findings from this are that the data access needs to be common to all parties. It should be the data once you get there should be the same, both on the buy side, on the DSP side, and on the SSP side. So it could be line by line, so the fidelity is identical, line by line access. The ability to get to that data should be accessible. It took 9 months to access the data. It should be accessible within hours or within a day just to get to that. There needs to be what we believe sort of master terms and conditions, which dictate that it should have the same legal access that's universal and be used by all advertisers, by all publishers, all DSPs and SSPs. So it's the standardization of access to data, and legal access is number one. And then once you have that line by line data, which is identical on the buy side and sell side, we believe that you can then actually go to work with actually identifying this unattributable amount, this 15% or unknown delta. But first we need that, comparable data that's identical on the buy and sell side, which then allows to be clear, would allow an auditable supply chain, because as it stands, it was almost inauditable. And that is not a heavy criticism of any one particular party. It's just that nobody's interrogated it from end to end. We now have the empirical evidence, which shows where there needs to be fixes to allow the supply chain, to allow advertisers and publishers to audit that supply chain and to identify those partners which are driving value.
Yeah, very clear. So I guess there are probably some marketers listening to this, very grateful for this insight, but maybe also a little bit frazzled by the complexity of what's sitting in front of them. What would you guys suggest as next steps that the brands should maybe be taking? I appreciate that you're calling for industry-wide standardization and collaboration, which clearly needs to happen, but those things generally tend to take some time. I guess some will be sitting there thinking if this is the best end of programmatic, the premium end, then there may be some areas where things could be potentially more extreme than this. And I feel like I want more of my money going to working media. So if marketers are sitting there thinking, right, I want to do something about this today, what would you be saying to them to do or to consider?
So I would say, first, obviously, review the report, make sure you understand the findings, and then have that honest discussion with your agency about what is your agency doing to ensure that your campaigns are set up, optimized, and reported in the best possible way. The agency can't see past the DSP either. So brands can't expect full end-to-end transparency from their agency. It's simply not possible. But their agency can at least explain to them, what they are doing, what strategies that they're using that seek to maximize working media. And then the second thing that I would do is I would encourage, I would lean in to the industry initiatives that are going to flow from this study, which Steve can talk to in a minute. More broadly, it's also worth remembering that this study is one aspect of programmatic in that it covers the costs along the supply chain. But there's areas that were deliberately out of scope, areas such as fraud, viewability, and brand safety. And then there are also, even once you understand the costs along the supply chain and you have thought hard about fraud, viewability, and brand safety issues, you still need absolute confidence that your agency is setting up and optimizing and reporting your campaigns in the best possible way, which is the other types of work that we do when we look at programmatic performance.
Okay. Just one thing I just wanted to go back to that you just said there, Sam. And of course, an agency doesn't see the contractual relationship between a DSP and an SSP, but an agency can kind of get involved and can negotiate directly with SSPs and look at kind of negotiating lower kind of fee supply paths. I mean, the business that I work for, our parent company has done that. And I know Group M is having conversations with SSPs around similar things. So I appreciate that you don't necessarily see all of it, but there are things that agencies and holding groups can do to force pressure on the sales side and the SSPs as well, aren't there?
Yes, although those types of trading arrangements, I'm not necessarily sure. That is, in my mind, not a boost to transparency along the supply chain. And it's certainly not clear that those arrangements would return money to the advertiser themselves. So I get slightly nervous about some of those trading relationships between tech vendors and agencies, I have to say.
Sure. I mean, it all depends on whether it's, like you say, it's fully disclosed or not. The word transparent or the word disclosed are only valid if they're 100% that way, aren't they? Steve, we're kind of running short on time now, but I'd love to just briefly talk about some of the things or some of the bubbling up solutions that maybe could be out there more broadly in the industry. I know that as part of the JITWebs initiative that you guys are working with the party and looking at things even as progressive as blockchain, DLT, kind of ledger technology as a potential way to drive compliance here. But maybe you could talk about that and some other things that you see that are starting to emerge that will help the industry grow up and become more standardized.
Yeah, so briefly, the sort of pilot which is being run by JITWebs, which is the trade association, if you will, for digital standards around brand safety, viewability, and fraud, and broader digital transparency, is entered into a pilot looking at blockchain and essentially the feasibility of setting up a blockchain for advertising, which would mean that every party in the supply chain would essentially open the bonnet, if you will, in terms of data and access to data, and would then potentially reconcile. So rather than having different peoples along the supply chain determining costs or determining some delivery, that this would be a centralized ledger to do so, and that it would come together on one on the blockchain, which would be sort of immutable, couldn't be changed, and it would be sort of public, transparent, if you will. So it's an interesting area. Essentially, crudely, it would be potentially be an always-on solution for submitting data on an ongoing basis and potentially tapping into the sort of data which we talked about for this study. A couple of important differences, I think. The thing we discovered from the study was the sort of systemic issues around the type of data and the fidelity of that data. It's not the same on both sides of the fence. Sometimes it's aggregate, sometimes it's log level. It needs to be line by line and the same on the buy and sell side. That needs to be the same first. And that's a systemic issue across the industry that, that any one of these new solutions aren't going to address in themselves. So that needs to be addressed first. And then the identifying this sort of unattributable number also needs to be identified. It doesn't mean to say that these entities at the moment, which private entities or the one fiduciary, which is working with JQuebs on the pilot, cannot sort of help in parallel, but those systemic issues need to be identified first. And then some of these blockchain and non-blockchain solutions can sort of be investigated further, because they may be a way of having always on access to data. But where they'll likely differ from PwC, of course, is that PwC had their own approach for matching data, but then they, of course, went in and actually looked at the contractual costs and actually went and actually looked at the contracts on the buy and sell side, so they can compare what they saw on the data against the actuals coming in the data against the contracts and contracted costs. Yeah. And that's also then articulated in the report as well about the differences between contracted versus actual. So I think they're all really interesting. These new solutions, I think they should be examined and should be looked at. And we're looking at, you know, all of them in aggregates, as well as, you know, primarily looking at that blockchain test with fiducia with the JQuebs. And they are very interesting, but those systemic issues need to be addressed first.
Okay, very good.
And just to add just a final point on the, because I think to your point, I think for the cynics listening on the corner, and you know, and then begrudge that, he might say, well, if we're going to work as an industry, does that mean to try and address these issues? Is this something which is just going to take months, years, and potentially that won't be resolved? Where we find ourselves at the moment, in particularly in the UK, we have UK government and our competition authority looking into the digital advertising supply chain. We have our Privacy Commissioner looking into the privacy implications of the programmatic supply chain. Yeah. It's getting a lot of scrutiny, regulatory scrutiny at the moment as a whole. So there's a lot of focus both from our UK government, DCMS, and the Competition Authority, and our Data Protection Authority. And if we don't, the market's evolved in a disorganized way, and it lacks standards and protocols as transparency. And we have to demonstrate essentially that this is a fair and open marketplace. And if we can't do so, then the threat of regulation looms large on the horizon. So I think there's added motivation to everyone in the industry to get behind the findings from the study and really lean in, and not for this to be a lengthy time frame for people then to get on board or to potentially prioritize other areas of the business first. This is very high priority, or should be, in everybody's business, because we are being intensely scrutinized, and rightly so. And it should be a fair and open marketplace, and the report points clearly to how we should do that.
Very good. A good rally cry and rationale for why everyone should lean in. So as we draw to a close, could I maybe just ask each of you to just give me one final thought on what, and I'm going to focus it on the brand and marketeer, because that's what this podcast is about. So what the marketeer should go away and do immediately. Clearly, they should read this report in detail, because it takes a while to land and there's a lot of detail in it. But could you maybe each of you, maybe you first, Sam, just give me one final kind of takeaway, please?
For marketers, I would say download the report, read it, contact us if you have any questions. And then if you aren't a member of ISBAR, join ISBAR and support the industry initiatives that will flow from it.
And Steve?
That's very kind of Sam to say. So I think I would say again, read the reports. I think it's there for everyone to read the executive summary. Anybody can read that now. And if they want to access that, then they can contact myself or Sam if they don't already have a copy. And really get behind I think there's lots you can take out from the report individually. I think even if you didn't take part in the study, that you as an advertiser or as a publisher can take out and employ, and measures you can employ straight away. But I think endorsing those and getting, not only endorsing, but actually getting involved in these industry task forces, we're going to need voices to be lent to look at the challenges that are identified and actually look at how we can address those. So I'd encourage everybody to kind of get behind that. And if you can't do so, you front and center yourself, actually, then ask your partners to do so, whether it's your agency as a client or as a publisher, asking your suppliers to actually lean into this work.
Great. Well, thank you both. It's been a really useful conversation, and I hope it's helped people will be able to navigate the insights that come out of what is a very groundbreaking report. I think it's fair to say, and I alluded to it earlier, that programmatic buying through technology using data is the future of all media trading, not just for digital display. Every other media channel is rapidly moving towards that. So it is important that we get this right and that the industry grows up and matures. And I think it's fair to say that it is time for a reset. And Steve and Sam have both called for all parties involved in the supply chain to lean in. It won't work if it's only the brands or the agencies leaning in. We need the supply side and the buy side to talk to each other more openly and build for a better, stronger future, because this is definitely a fast growth area and will continue to be, but it won't grow as fast as it could do unless there's confidence in the supply chain. So all that remains is for me to thank our two guests today. So thank you, Steve.
Thank you for having us.
And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Paul.
Thank you for tuning into this latest podcast. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. We'll be back again very soon, interviewing a senior marketeer and understanding what they would like to reset in the marketing industry. In the meantime, if you want to check out me, you can find me on Twitter, Paul_Framp, and you can find my new business, which is a hybrid marketing consultancy helping with in-housing, digital strategy, and marketing attribution at controlvexposed.co.uk, on Twitter under CVE, or on LinkedIn under controlvexposed. Look forward to you coming back next time and having more interesting conversations. Thank you.